Well, as we come to this meal tonight, we're reminded in the Gospels that this meal is like the one that Jesus has with his disciples. It's a Passover meal on the night that he was betrayed. But before we come to this meal, I want to talk about another meal that happened that week. The night before, in a place just outside of Jerusalem, in a place called Bethany. You see, the Gospel of Mark, it says that Jesus and his disciples, they come to and are dining at the home of a man called Simon the leper. And this is just like Jesus. On his last days, he is eating with and among those who don't fit in. He's reclining with those who can't kick their reputations. And friends, this is good news. This is good news lived out in flesh and blood with a fork and a knife and bread and wine. This setup, it doesn't disappoint at all. Jesus comes to Simon the leper's house. But as he does, Mark tells us that out of nowhere, silently and swiftly, a woman slips into the room. She enters into the company of men. And Mark, he doesn't tell us her name or what she looks like or if she said anything, but he tells us what she was carrying. She has with her an alabaster flask of expensive perfume made of pure nard. She breaks it open, and he tells us that he pours it over Jesus' head. And just in case we don't understand what's happening, he then tells us that this is very costly. She is carrying something that most families would cherish as a safety net in that time. Something that they would hope to pass down unused from generation to generation. To put it in perspective, something like this would have cost a whole year's wage. And if you're really hard up, if you're really in a tight spot, you could sell this. And it could get you by until something else worked out. So we should hear that in this woman's hands, as she walks into this room, she had all of her safety. She has all her security, everything she had. But her security, her comfort, are the farthest things from her mind in that moment. You see, she breaks the flask and pours it over Jesus. You can imagine a deep and filling and penetrating smell. It filled the room, something beautiful and something rare and something precious. And as soon as that smell, it hits the noses of the men in the room, they start to do the math. They start to add up the cost of that. That room, it blows up with indignant rage. And why was the ointment wasted like this? Why does she do this? And the guys who had been with Jesus for years, who the men in this room, who they had hung out with him for years, and who they had hung on the very words that he had spoken, the guys who had eaten and laughed and done ministry and then and walked with him for years, they smell that smell, and they start doing math. They scold and they snort at this woman for her wasteful, embarrassing extravagance. But this woman knows something about Jesus that they can't see. And as hard as it is for them to see, as hard as it is for us maybe even to imagine, this moment wasn't ever about the money. This woman decided that Jesus is worth everything. All of my security, all of my comfort, the last bit of insulation that I have around me to protect me, he's worth absolutely everything. She knew that her own safety, her own security, all of her money, all of her carefulness, none of that was worth hanging on to in his presence. And she gladly pours it out with such an unrestrained, joyful love. And here's the thing. This is the one act of devotion and love done to Jesus on this final week of the cross. It's it. She alone understands and sees and knows the real truth about Jesus. You see, her actions, they point to another action. One more beautiful and more costly, more scandalous act that week. Jesus, not with ointment, but with a bread and a cup, with his body and blood, he is broken and poured out for you and for me. Jesus finds that people like you and me, that we are worth everything to him, that we are precious to him. And this good news that fills this room tonight, that animates and invigorates this whole world, and this good news that we are right now, that we're invited at this table to see and to taste. If you've put your faith in Christ, if you have in repentance and faith trusted in him to cover your sins, to make you whole, then please come and eat in faith. If you don't know Christ, if you haven't put your faith and believe that he alone can rescue you from your sin, then I invite you to see his broken body and his shed blood poured out to bring you life. Father, thank you for this table. We pray that you would set it apart from a common use to a sacred and holy one, that you would come and by your Spirit meet us and nourish us in our faith through this bread and wine. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Well, I want to invite